quick introduction to today's episode with my guest, James Swanwick, or James Swanwick, depending on how you pronounce it. James has interviewed some of the top stars and celebrities on the planet, everyone from Brad Pitt and Will Smith to Kobe Bryant and David Beckham. And during or after every interview, he would always ask them about their favorite success habit, and some of their answers are worth their weight in gold. His story, talking about Will Smith in particular, is amazing. I got so much from listening to that, and the reinforcement of the idea is that how you do anything is how you do everything, and that step by step you get ahead and stepping into whatever your envision is. Absolutely love that part of the podcast. This episode goes everywhere from strategies for giving up alcohol or whatever your personal vice is, and an awesome story with training with Arnold Schwarzenegger in Gold's Gym, to not judging yourself in romantic relationships, and some personal advice that James offered to me as it's an area in my life that I struggle with. And we talked about blue light blocking glasses, which is actually how I came across James in the first place. If a lot of you or any of you listening to or following my Instagram stories, when I have my blue light blocking glasses on at nighttime, those orange tinted glasses you see me with, they're Swannies. They're James Swanwick glasses, James Swanwick glasses. And that's actually how I came across him first about 18 months ago. And I've been following him since. So we talked about that and using those to improve your sleep quality. This is a real ebb and flow episode. We jump back and forth. Loved it. I hope you enjoy this one as much as I enjoyed recording it. So without further ado, this week's episode with my guest, James Swanwick.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I'm so excited to have my guest with me today, James Swanwick. James is an Australian-American journalist and television and podcast host based in Hollywood, California. His podcast, The James Swanwick Show, and his awesome blog on jamesswanwick.com covers everything from health, wealth, love, and happiness, and has some cracking episodes and reads. Why I quit drinking in 2010, and how it created a lifetime of healthy habits, how I read a book a day, and the podcast episode with one of my favorite authors, Robert Greene, on how to overcome social awkwardness are amongst my personal favorites. So definitely go check those out. I'll have them all linked in the show notes at the end. James is also the creator of Swannies blue light blocking glasses that you may have heard me mention in part one and part two of How to Get a Better Night's Sleep podcast episodes, or my quote-unquote Bono glasses that I'm always tagging on my Instagram stories at nighttime. So you've got James to thank for those awesome messages that come in Bono references. James has such incredible ideas in all aspects of life, ranging from health and wellness to hacking life and habits, and everything to do with business and just wellness in general. So hopefully we'll be jumping around a lot in today's episode. James, I know how busy your schedule is, so thank you so much for coming on.
Brian, thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
Tell everybody a little bit more about yourself. I know you've jumped around in so many different things that you've done. Give people a little bit of a synopsis on what's got you to this point.
Yeah, well, I was born in Brisbane in Australia, and then I went over to the UK when I was 23, and I became a sports journalist. I was working for Sky Sports, actually. I was covering the Cricket and Rugby World Cups in 1999. And, you know, I was always the guy that had a job. It was a cool job. I got to follow sport all day. And then I did something really stupid and I fell in love with a British woman. And she broke my heart. She dumped me one Friday night. And I was so upset that I went, you know what, I just got to get out of this country. And so I got a plane to Los Angeles for no particular reason. And I flew into LA Airport on September 30th, 2002. And I ended up living in a hostel, the Hermosa Beach Hostel, about 20 minutes south of LAX, of Los Angeles Airport, sleeping in a bunk bed with lots of other snoring backpackers paying $15 a night. And I figured out how to interview movie stars. So I ended up interviewing Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie at movie junkets. And I would sell those stories over in the UK and Australia and around the world. And you know, created a cool little business for myself. And then I lost my business in 2009 when the financial crisis hit. I went down to Argentina, lived in Buenos Aires for 6 months to learn Spanish. And when I came back in 2010 to LA, I quit drinking, got my dream job hosting SportsCenter on ESPN, and then quit that job to go and be an online entrepreneur. And now today, I'm based in Los Angeles, and I build health products. I have this 30-day no alcohol challenge program, which helps social drinkers quit alcohol. And as you said before, I created these Swannies blue light blocking glasses, and I've created a sleep company. So now I'm very entrepreneurial and quite nomadic. I live all over the world, even though I'm based in LA. And that's kind of my story.
I love it. Health is a massive foundation pillar across all your platforms. And for as long as I've been following you and everything you do, it's a huge part of obviously your lifestyle. What got you into that first, into kind of health, fitness? What got you into that?
Well, you know, I played rugby for about 20 years, and growing up in Australia and then again in England, and then when I first came to Los Angeles. And I quit rugby, and I realized I put on quite a lot of weight. And in 2010, I woke up one morning and I'd only had a couple of drinks the night before. I only had like literally two Bombay Sapphire and tonic, gin and tonic drinks. But I had this hangover and I'd realized I was about 20, 25 pounds overweight, and I looked tired and weathered. I had low energy. And I was like, wow, just, you know, not playing rugby anymore, not being physically active, and then drinking a little bit too much and eating a little bit too poorly. Wow, this has just crept up on me. All of a sudden, I don't feel that great. And so I just committed to taking a 30-day break from alcohol just to see how I would feel. And as a result of that, I lost 13 pounds in 30 days. I started hanging out with more health-conscious people. I started going to the gym again. I started running, ran a half marathon. And just quitting alcohol really for those 30 days set in motion a whole chain of habit changes. From eating well to exercising well to then, you know, ultimately creating a podcast and interviewing some of the world's healthiest people. And that really got me into the health world. So I would say it was just, you know, you asked the question, what got you into health? Well, it was really, I just deteriorated to the point where I wasn't super unhealthy, but I was just unhealthy enough that I felt like I needed to make a change.
And what was the timeline, James, in terms of your age? In 2010, when you kind of gave up alcohol for the 30 days, obviously first, and then it continued on, put us where you were timeline-wise in terms of your age and then where you were at each stage in your life. Like, where were you in terms of your journey at that stage?
Yeah, well, in 2010, I was 34, turning 35. I'm 42 as we're recording this now.
Jesus, you look great for 42, mate. It's yeah, everyone needs to get on everything you're doing, so listen up.
Thank you, appreciate it. Yeah, I was, you know, I was 35 when I woke up with that hangover, and to be clear, I was not an alcoholic. I never drank, like I never needed to drink, but I was just socially drinking, you know, like any good Australian guy,
like,
you know,
any good Irish guy. Yeah, I get it totally.
Any good Irish guy. I was just, you know, I was just drinking socially. I'd have a couple beers during the week, and the weekend I might, you know, drink a bit more. Sometimes I might get drunk, but all in just good fun, you know. But when you're hitting 35, your metabolism is not as fast or not as strong as it once was. And then together with the fact that I'd stopped playing, you know, rugby, even though I wasn't playing competitive rugby, it was just social rugby, even though I'd stopped that, man, it was amazing how quickly I put on that weight. And it was amazing how my skin started to look weathered and tired. And it was amazing how quickly I lost energy and clarity and focus, and I wasn't sleeping very well. It just crept up on me, you know? And so at that point, when I was 35, just quitting for 30 days, at the end of 30 days, I felt so damn good. I had so much energy. I slept better. I got better looking. I mean, it's amazing how better looking you get when you quit drinking just for 30 days. It's pretty incredible because all the toxins leave your face, right? They leave the skin. And then, so the last 7 years or 7 or 8 years now, it's been since I touched a drop of alcohol, and I just feel so energetic and clear in mind and healthy, and you know, it's just, it feels great.
One of the things that I talk about regularly, James, on the podcast is the compound effect of just making a decision on something as simple as, say, giving up alcohol for 30 days and how, you know, they say at the University of London, it takes 66 days to form a new habit, but you're halfway there nearly with 30 days. There's a lot of people listening here that are still in that area, and I'm 30 now, but in the last few years, I've been scaling back the amount of alcohol I drank. Tell people a little bit about the 30-day no alcohol challenge, because I know sometimes it's great to say we're going to do it ourselves, but talk about it. It's linked on your website. Talk a little bit about that, if anyone is here in that position, because I know it'll provide them a value if they need that little bit of a kickstart. Can you tell people a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I have this program. It's called 30-Day No Alcohol Challenge. You can see it at 30daynoalcoholchallenge.com. And essentially what it is accountability, right? So So what I do is I've created 30 videos and I send them to you every single day of the 30 days that you're going to quit alcohol. And all the science of habits show that when you have accountability with anything, your chances of success increase exponentially. In fact, there's a great book called The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. And he says that change occurs amongst other people. So what that means is that you can try and do it. You actually can quit alcohol by yourself. You can do it, but will you? That's the real question, right? Like, you can do it using brute willpower. But will you? Because a lot of people who try to do it by themselves, they'll go 7 days, 14 days. And even though they've got the intention of 30 days, they'll go, oh, you know, it's all right. I've gone 2 weeks. I'll just have a drink now. It's okay. I should reward myself. Whereas this program I've developed, 30-Day No Alcohol Challenge, it's really accountability. You're getting that daily video. You're going into a closed Facebook group of other people who are doing their challenge. And like the author Charles Duhigg says in The Power of Habit, change occurs amongst other people. So I don't know about you, but I'm pretty lazy. I don't want to rely on brute willpower. Like, I don't want brute willpower. I want someone holding me accountable and someone to answer to, right? So just to give you one more example of that, Brian, this morning I went to Gold's Gym in Venice Beach. And just as a side note, I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger there again this morning. And I'll tell you a little story about Arnold in a second. I actually did 3 sets of tricep extensions with Arnold Schwarzenegger 2 weeks ago at the same gym. But he was there. And the reason that I was there at 7:20 this morning was because I have a friend of mine, Josh, and I said 2 days ago, I'll meet you at the gym at 7:20. We'll do a stretch and then we'll lift weights from 7:30. Now, this morning when my alarm went off at 6:30, the last thing I wanted to do was go to Gold's Gym in Venice Beach. I wanted to sleep a little bit more because I had had a late night last night. But because I knew I'd told him that I was going to be there and I knew he was going to be there, there was no question that I was going to get up and ride my bike to Gold's Gym, which is what I did. So that's what the 30-Day No Alcohol Challenge is. It's that accountability that holds your hand, that ensures that you do not drink for 30 days, that you feel amazing, and that you're doing it in a group of people.
I love that. I think one of the things that resonates so much with the messages that you put across is the accountability side of things, creating the right habits, and you're effectively what you do every day. I love the thought process that people don't decide their future, they decide their habits, and their habits decide their future. And something like, some people listening now, it'll be alcohol. For other people, it'll be chocolate. For other people, it'll be fast food. Insert whatever your vice is here. But I'm big on systems over willpower. And that sounds like an incredible system because it keeps you accountable. It gives you that kickstart of 30 days. And it's amazing the confidence that comes from saying that you're going to do something like give up alcohol or chocolate or fast food or whatever it is that people have a vice for, and actually getting through the 30 days. I'm curious because this leads me on beautifully to my next point. I actually came across you the very first time. It must have been 2 years ago, James, but it was with Arnold Schwarzenegger wearing your Swanee glasses. So yeah. I'm curious to hear that story. Can you please tell everyone a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you the first story for like the story that I mentioned yesterday, which was 2 weeks ago when I was with Schwarzenegger. I'm still beaming from this story. I have to say, I'm still telling anyone who'll listen. I went to Gold's Gym, and just to give context, Gold's Gym is this very famous gym in Venice Beach in Los Angeles. And this is where Arnold Schwarzenegger worked out back in the day when he was, part of the time when he was the 7-time Mr. Olympia. And it's like the mecca of bodybuilding. And he still goes there to this day. Now, I've just recently moved into Venice Beach, and Gold's Gym is very close to where I'm living. And so now I go there. And anyway, I was doing tricep extensions a couple of weeks ago, and Arnold Schwarzenegger walks over to me, and I'm on about rep 9. I'm sort of doing these tricep extensions, and he says to me, "Can I work in with you?" And I was like, I looked at him and I said, "Yes, Governor, you can." But I also didn't want to like just quickly get off the tricep extensions, because I thought, oh, that'll be just too much. So I finished my set of 12, made him wait for 3 more reps, and then I stood back and let him come in and do his tricep extensions. I didn't say anything, but as he was doing it, I was looking at him going, I cannot wait to tell anyone who'll listen that I just worked out with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then anyway, he ended up finishing his rep and he walked off. And then I went back and did another set. And then he came back again. And this time I said, oh, damn it, I'm going to talk to him. So I said, oh, Governor, I just raised $27,000 for your charity, After School All-Stars, which I did. And he was like, oh, fantastic. That's amazing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then we ended up doing 2 more sets together. So we ended up doing 3 sets of tricep extensions with this former 7-time Mr. Olympia, the former governor of California, and the Hollywood movie star Arnold Schwarzenegger. And at the end, when I left, he was leaving at the same time. I got a photo with him, and I put it on my Instagram page. So if you're listening and you want to see the photo of me with Arnold Schwarzenegger outside of Gold's Gym, just go to my Instagram at James Swanick and go back probably a few weeks, depending on when this airs, and you'll see the photo there. Thanks for humoring me and letting me share that story, Brian.
Man, I didn't want to say it because I actually saw that on your Instagram. I'm like, I know this story and I'm dying to hear him tell it.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
It's so good. Like, I laughed because I think you had a little written description up underneath it. Or it was a video. I can't remember what I saw, but I remember you had me in hysterics. It was like a day or two after it happened. It was quality. I'll link that up in the show notes as well for everyone to check out.
Yeah, I wrote P.S. I lifted heavier than him.
That was it. That was it. There was a line that made me laugh out loud. That was the one. Amazing. Yeah.
Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Clean Cut Meals. Clean Cut Meals offer a professional meal prep service and have various plans to suit all different needs and levels of fitness, whether you're starting your fitness journey, prepping for a show or a shoot, or play high-level sport. Clean Cut Meals are freaking awesome. I use them for the entire preparation from Marathon de Sable last April and have been using them ever since. They're just absolutely killer for saving time. Their food is awesome and tasty. I've completely gone off script, but I love the service they provide, and there's someone I'm going to be using for a long time in the future. The guys deliver nationally, so no matter where you are in the country, they can deliver. If you want to get on board and spend the time that you save shopping, prepping, cooking, and cleaning on the other things that you love, just visit www.cleancutmeals.ie to make an order, or if you have any questions, drop the guys an email, info@cleancutmeals.ie. I'm pretty sure that is on the website, cleancutmeals.ie as well, so you can just put them into Google, search them. The links are on my social medias. The guys are absolutely awesome. Also, you can use the code BKF at the checkout to get 20% off your first order. Definitely recommend checking them out, guys. Not too many meal prep services that I can recommend and put my name to, so cannot recommend Clean Cut Meals enough. So BKF at the checkout, 20% off your first order. Regardless, go check them out on www.cleancutmeals.ie. And now ready for today's episode. I hope you enjoy it. James, somebody that is as successful as you in particularly all the areas that you're channeling in your life now, between entrepreneurship, business, clearly health, fitness, all of that, I'm always curious how people start their day, because I'm very aware that success leaves clues. And I'm just kind of curious, what does the first 30 or 60 minutes of your day look like? Do you have any morning routine?
Yes.
How does that normally look?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I have what I think is a great answer for me, and it might be for others as well. So I used to be guilty of waking up to the alarm in my iPhone. Okay, so I'd leave my phone on during the night, even though I put it on silent mode. I'd have it at my bedside table. I'd set the alarm, and then I would wake up to the alarm on my iPhone. Now, the problem that I realized that was happening was that when I reached over to stop the alarm on my iPhone, it got the phone in my hand. Now, all of a sudden, I opened it up. I'm looking at email. I'm looking at Instagram, Facebook. And now I'm in reactionary mode right away. Before I've even crawled out of bed, I'm on that damn device. And I did a very simple change, which has had huge impacts in my life. And that was is that I set a rule. And the rule – there were two rules. One of them was I would only wake up to an alarm that was not in my phone. So I bought a tiny little mini portable alarm, which I now set, and that's what wakes me up. The phone does not wake me up. And two, I'm not allowed to open my phone until I have written down 20 things that I'm grateful for in my diary every single morning. And this has been a massive game changer for me. So now what happens is my portable alarm goes off. I hit it. I get up, I go and use the bathroom, and then I grab my diary and a pen, and I either go outside or I sit on the edge of my bed, and I sit there and I write 20 things that I am grateful for. And I literally start by going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way down to 20, and I do not get up until I've completed those 20. And then at that point, I am allowed to go and turn my phone back into off of airplane mode and switch it on. And then I can go and, you know, do whatever. A lot of times I don't turn my phone on for about an hour afterwards, even though I can, even though I've completed my 20 things, because I just find that that morning solitude and that morning of imagining your life and sitting and being grateful and appreciating things, it completely rewires your brain into feeling happy, content. And when you're happy and content, happy people are generally wealthier, more productive, have better relationships, are healthier. So just that one simple habit in the morning has had a profound impact on my life.
Well, it's amazing because small changes like that, it's funny because recently, probably in the last 9 to 12 months or so, I've had a very, very similar morning routine in terms of catching that reactive state that And I'm not going to lie to you, James, I found it really difficult not to look at my phone for the first probably month of doing that. I actually had to put it into another room because I was finding I was rolling out of bed to the alarm and I was in Instagram before, you know, my eyes were fully open. And it just shows the power of habits. And that book you mentioned earlier, Charles Duhigg, is one of my favorites. And it solidifies that what you do every day, you know, tell me what you do every day and I'll tell you where you'll be in a year. And that's really owning the morning. I love the starting with a gratitude. I think there's so many people listening that that's going to trigger something for them. I do gratitude journal every morning, the 5-minute journal. But I like your 20 because I think the more things you're grateful for, the more you rewire your brain every morning.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at what I wrote this morning and it's all just so simple. It's like, one, went to the beach and listened to music last night. Invited my friend Tiffany and Julie, played the host, it felt good. Satisfaction from completing the webinar yesterday. My one-on-one client, John, saying that he's thrilled with me. A great shoulder workout at Gold's Gym. A beautiful, yummy Thai lunch. The annual Swanwick Sleep meeting feeling like it was a success. My new book, Lessons of History, arrived. Can't wait to read it. Body tired but feeling strong. Can't wait for a day off. Like just simple things like that is what I write down. And they're just tiny little things. But those tiny little things make me feel good. And when I feel good, I'm productive. And when I'm productive, I feel good. And people who are happy and who feel good have been shown in countless studies to make more money, to have better health, to attract better quality relationships. So it's not I'm going to go and make money and then I'll be happy. It's I'm going to be happy during the day, remind myself that I'm happy, and then all of life spoils will come to me.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I love what you have in your 47-day habit hacker that I'm going to jump into now. You speak a lot about the health, wealth, love and fulfillment, or love and happiness in your words. And on the podcast here,
I've spoken in the past, and a lot of regular listeners will be familiar with, I break my life into those four quadrants, similar: health, wealth, love, and fulfillment. And then I score them out of 10, you know, every few days, every few weeks, every month as needed. Talk me through the 47-day habit hacker and the place that health, wealth, love, and happiness has in it.
Yeah, so I everything about habits, I created this program called 47-Day Habit Hacker. And, you know, I had this podcast, The James Swanick Show, and I interviewed New York Times bestselling authors. Like I said before, I interviewed the world's top Hollywood movie stars, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. I've interviewed and met Elon Musk, the billionaire, Mark Cuban, the billionaire. When I was a SportsCenter anchor on ESPN, I got to interview Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady, David Beckham, like all of the best of the best, most successful people. And I would always ask them, what's your number one success habit? And they would always share it with me. And so what I did was I just compiled the success habits of the world's most successful people and put it into this program called 47-Day Habit Hacker. And that's what it is. And it, and you know what's funny? They're not complicated things. They're very, very simple things, just like writing gratitude in the morning. Even writing out your goals, Brian, like they've done these studies that show that if you write down your goals rather than just think about them, you have an exponential chance of success, of completing those goals versus if you just keep them in your head. There's something that happens when you put a pen in your hand and the ink comes out of the pen and it gets on paper. It's something that makes it real. Another habit that someone told me about recently, which I've just started practicing, is start having a conversation about something that's already happened, like something that hasn't happened that's already, but say it in a way pretending like it already has happened. For example, this morning, in preparation for this podcast, maybe, Brian, I might have said, like maybe 2 hours ago, I would have said, oh, I did this amazing podcast with this guy, Brian Keane, today. He's over in Ireland, and he was asking me about this, the Swanick sleep glasses and 30-day no alcohol challenge. And it felt so good to be able to like give so much value about health to his listeners, and I just crushed it, and it was awesome. So would have said that 2 hours ago before we'd done this interview, and all the science points to, if you say that out loud and you have the vision of that, then you just step into that vision and the very thing that you planned for actually happens. Does that make sense?
I love it. James, one of the things I said earlier was success leaves clues, and something I've spoken a lot on solo episodes of the podcast is I write my daily affirmations nearly every day, and I've got my whiteboards, my daily goals, weekly goals, monthly, yearly, and then 10-yearly, which is, again, I'm not as attached to how I get there, but I'm aware of the end results. And what you said there, I write everything in the present tense as if I already have done it. And one of the topics or areas that I'll cover with people is for setting goals in fitness or health or whatever it is, relationships, business, is setting the goal, living in that position, becoming that person, and then just waiting for reality to catch up. And what you said there lands, and I hope everybody listening took note of that, because James is saying these things. He's talked to some of the most successful people in the world, and success leaves clues. You know, nobody's smart enough. You don't have to come up with these things yourself. You can model other people, model James, model the people that he's spoken with. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I remember I interviewed Will Smith, the Hollywood actor. He was promoting a movie at the time called I Am Legend. I think it was 2007, somewhere around there. And he was saying, you know, I was saying, what's your biggest success habit? Like what's a success habit that you can give me? And he said that a lot of the time, or most of the time, he just envisages this end result, right? Like he pictures the end result. And then he says, you know what? It's already done. It's already happened. You all just got to wait to see it. So it's pretty amazing. Like he just knows that he is going to complete that. He already sees the end result. And he also said that his father back in the day made him and his brother build a wall. And he said, if you're setting out to build a wall, don't think, oh, like the wall, it's so big. He said, lay every brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid and then you will have a wall. And so that was really interesting as well. So just to summarize what he was saying, it start with the vision, right? Start with that end result, get a picture of it in your mind, and then it's lay every brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. Trust that process, and then the wall will appear.
It's something I did recently, James, and that my listeners are familiar with. I ran 250 kilometers through the Sahara Desert for a charity there recently. It took me 6 days. And one of my life mantras is how you do anything is how you do everything. And that's the physical equivalent of step by step. It's the metaphorical equivalent of brick by brick. And everything we do, and everybody that's listening, regardless of what it is you're trying to achieve, whether it's a better relationship, your better physique or body, better sleep and putting those tools in your toolkit, or setting up your business to become an entrepreneur and successful in whatever it is you're doing, it's step by step, it's brick by brick, it's rep by rep. And again, I love that story with Will Smith. I think that's an incredible message for people to take, because how you do anything is how you do everything.
Are you an impatient person? Because I'm impatient. I've been guilty of the past of letting my impatience get me down, because I sometimes want to go charging over the hill and I want stuff now. And I've had to learn to really step back a little bit and just trust that process of step by step. Because sometimes I want the wall today. Let's build a wall. Right, I want it right now. I want it right now. Let's go. Versus, right, let's just step by step, let's just lay every brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. Let's just get it done. And this is a process. It's going to take time. So I've been guilty of being impatient. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, 100%. It's something I've had to really cultivate patience over the last few years, because I was just like you. I wanted everything yesterday. I didn't even want the wall today. I wanted it yesterday so that it's already done. How did you get over that? What kind of self-talk or habits? Was it a combination of things, or was there one trigger or a major catalyst? What made you change? Because you clearly, with the success you've had now, have been able to cultivate patience. What did it for you?
Well, I felt like I was getting results, but they weren't as good a results as I came to realize I could get if I was a little more patient. So a lot of times I felt manic, and like I was chasing things, and with that brute willpower, like I referred to earlier, and like force of will, I was trying to make things happen, like push. And you know what? I was successful to a degree, but I wasn't as successful as I thought I might get. And so I was open to the idea of trying something else. Like, everything in my life is an experiment and a test. And so I had tested getting things done today and now, and let's go, and got good results. And so then I decided, well, let's just try the other way, which is what people are telling me, which is just trust the process, be a bit more patient, plan it out a little bit more, and then let's see. And so what happened was, is that the results that I got from being a bit more patient ended up being greater than the results I got from just going charging over the hill right away. Now, in the beginning, when you charge over the hill right away and you're impatient, it actually gives you it actually appears as if this is more successful than if you went a little bit slower and planned it out. However, if you do take the time to plan it out, be a little bit more patient, and then execute, where you end up is often significantly better or more successful, or whatever your gauge is, than just charging over the hill. So it was a bit of a process, and I did it kind of, you know, reluctantly, and it was a challenge. But I'm now definitely bought into being more patient with things.
And is there areas of your life that you're not still as patient in, or has that shown up in all areas? In terms of, you're very clearly patient in health, business. Does that show up in all areas? Do you find that when you do it in one place, it shows up everywhere else, or is it different?
Yeah, it definitely shows up in all areas. Like, for example, I'm 42, right? I'm not married and I don't have kids. And I, as it stands currently, as we're recording this, I'm a single man. And I would love to have children. And I'm going to have children, right? The marriage part, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I'm open to all types of different scenarios. I'm open to getting married. I'm open to not getting married. I'm open to having kids with a long time or with a life partner. I'm open to having kids with a wife. I'm open to having kids in a non-romantic relationship and co-parenting. Like I'm open to all of those things. And what I would say is that in my sort of late 30s, I guess, when I was dating, it was all about like, go, 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 go. Right, let's date. Let's quickly. Let's date this person, this person, this person. And fast, quick, I'm running out of time. Like I want to have kids. And I started to have a mindset of you know, like, wow, I've got to get this part of my life happening. And so I was on dating apps and I was asking for introductions. And what I was doing was that I was forcing things. And so what happened was is that I did end up having a lot of dates, but I didn't have any real relationships. And so now I've completely changed my whole dating strategy, if you like, to now it's just getting very clear on how I want to feel in a romantic relationship and how I want whoever my partner is to feel in that relationship. And then it's very much discounting or not going down a path of dating a certain type of woman if that certain type of woman or relationship does not fit into what I'm envisaging for myself. So what that means is that I'm now not dating anywhere near as much as what I was. I'm now much more picky. I now say no, or I decline, or I don't let relationships go even begin if it's not in alignment with how I'm feeling. And so I feel a lot calmer. I feel really beautiful about it. I'm having a much deeper level of connection with people, with women who I'm dating, and it's no longer manic. It's now just a really beautiful, easy thing, and it doesn't feel like there's any pressure to go quickly at all.
I love that. That's really helping me personally. It's something that I struggle with myself. I'm fortunate in terms of subjective success in the other quadrants, the health and fitness, the business side, wealth side, happiness, fulfillment, but that's always been my Achilles heel. So I was glued to everything you said there. I'm just curious, this is such a selfish question, but I'm going to ask it anyway in the hopes that other people have it as well. Was there any tools or resources that helped you get there, or was it just an experience thing, James, that got you to this point?
You know, I went through a real self. There's going to be some beautiful sounds of Los Angeles you can hear in the background here, Brian. Can you hear the fire engine?
I can. It's beautiful to hear because I'm in the middle of a valley and there isn't a house around for miles.
Ah, the serenity of Los Angeles, huh? So here's the thing, right? I recently went through a self-development journey whereby I got to a point in my life where I've had business success, I've had health success, but I've still had this feeling underneath me that something is amiss, like something's not quite right. And you and I have been talking about habits and happiness and all this, and all these things are great. However, I was living in this story in my head where it's like, hang on a second, I'm now in my 40s. I'm not married. I don't have kids. Have I done something wrong here? Versus the other side of me, which is I'm the smartest person on the planet. I mean, I'm so smart that I did not go down the route that so many do, which is settle, get a wife, have kids, get a picket fence, and kind of maybe like not sell out, but just go, yeah, this is good. This is comfortable. So I went back 50-50. I'm like, have I done something wrong to get to this point versus, well, I'm so smart and it's gonna happen. So the fact that I was even asking that question, I looked at as something felt a little bit not wrong, but not quite right. So I went and did these programs. I did something called Landmark Forum, and I did another program called Elevate Leadership Community here in California. And essentially what an Elevate Leadership Community did is that it broke me down and made me cry in front of 50 people as a grown man. I did these experiential exercises where I had to pretend to be – have a conversation with my mother. I had to pretend to be my father, and then we had to bang pillows. We had to get really connected to the emotional side of ourselves. Because I've been very analytical. I've been very left-brain, logical, analytical, as most men are, but not as much or very little right-side brain and emotional and feeling. And so what this program did is that it really opened up the right side of the brain, the emotional side. It got me connected. It got me crying in front of people. It got me being intimate. It got me being authentic and transparent and talking about my fears and insecurities, which we don't do as in Australia. Growing up as an Australian man, the idea of masculinity is just, you got a problem, just get on with it. Like, you know, just take care of business. Don't be talking about your feelings. Just like, you know, like my father and I hadn't hugged in 35 years until recently when I hugged him for the first time. And that was a big breakthrough for me. So to answer your question, it's really been leaning – it started with me feeling like a level of discomfort about my life and seeking help, going and leaning into something that I knew was going to feel super uncomfortable, doing experiential exercises that opened me up and opened my heart up, and starting to practice having heartfelt, transparent, authentic conversations with grown men, with women, with my parents, with colleagues, with friends. And just being completely raw, transparent, and honest. And because of that, I now have fallen into a beautiful feeling of contentment where I just see things differently and I'm not stressed and I'm not judging myself and I just feel really good. And that's kind of shown up in romantic relationships where everything is just flowing. It's just nice and easy and calm and happy. It's not manic. There's no manipulation. There's no secrets. It's just pure honesty and it feels really good.
Yeah, I had a very similar experience. Again, I think Australians and Irish relate and British relate very, very similarly in terms of culture and the way we're brought up. I went to a retreat in just north of San Diego. It sounds very, very similar, where we had the, you know, become your father, speak as him, the pillows taken out. We had different experiences, but again made me break down. And I was 28, 29 at the time, and I hadn't cried since I was a kid. And it's made me think, and you said it, when you do the difficult things, all the growth comes from pushing in and leaning into the difficult things. The analogy I always use is fitness. That when you do those reps you didn't know you could do, or you do the extra kilometer or half mile that you didn't think you could do, that's where all the growth comes from. In the gym, we just build muscle or we get fitter. But when we lean into the discomfortable things in our life gets better. We get more content. We have more inner peace. And I'm a big fan of living life in a state of perpetual discomfort. And if you do the things that are easy, your life will be hard. And you do the things that are hard, your life will be easy. So it's just nice to hear that. I may even look into some of those retreats, James. We'll take it in another direction before we start hugging each other virtually over Skype. the Swan with Glasses, what... For those of you who haven't listened to the How to Get Better Night's Sleep podcast or may not be following my Instagram stories, firstly, they look freaking awesome. They look like Bono glasses from U2. And that's what everyone always deems me. They're always like, Bono's glasses, they're blue light blocking glasses. And I've spoken in the past about the melatonin production and it's what stops people falling asleep. Tell people a little bit about the Swanee glasses and what made you come up with them and how beneficial they are for people, because I use them and people know that I don't basically push anything I don't use or believe in. And I've been using these for probably about 18 months, I'd say. And they're a game changer. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah. So blue light blocking glasses have an orange lens to it, and orange is the exact opposite of the color blue. And blue light is what is emitted from your cell phone, from your TV screen, from your laptop, from your computer, from your bathroom light, kitchen light, etc., etc. Now, blue light at nighttime disrupts your melatonin production, which means you don't sleep as well. Blue light in the daytime is fine, right? The biggest emitter of blue light is actually the sun. So we want blue light. But at nighttime, there's too much light at night, and it's slowly killing us because it's affecting our sleep. So what these blue light blocking glasses do is that you wear them, you put the glasses on in the last hour before you want to go to sleep. You can continue using your electronics, watching TV, talking on your cell phone, using the bathroom light, kitchen light. The orange lens blocks that blue light. Your body is able to produce melatonin. And then you switch off the last light, you'd remove the glasses, and then you roll over and go to sleep. And the idea is that you'll fall asleep quicker, you'll sleep deeper, and you'll wake up feeling refreshed. We actually just completed we got the results back from an independent study that we did on the glasses, and we gave the glasses out to a group of people. And what they reported was that wearing the glasses in the last hour before they went to sleep helped them fall asleep 11 minutes faster, and they slept on average 27 minutes longer just as a result of wearing these Swanee's blue light blocking glasses. So it's pretty remarkable the impact that blocking blue light can have. You asked me how did I come up with the idea. Well, it was about 3 years ago. I was in Palm Springs, California, and I was with a British friend of mine called Mark Dharma, and he was sitting in this restaurant wearing a really ugly pair of UVX glasses, like these. They were blue light blocking glasses, but they were just ugly as sin, Brian. They were kind of like the glasses that you might wear if you were going to a gun range or you were protecting your eyes if you were mowing the lawn. And there was a table of very attractive women adjacent to our table. And I said to Mark, Mark, get those ugly glasses off, man. I'm like, you look ridiculous, and you're making me look ridiculous by association. And he said, no, man, I'm trying to block the blue light. Look at all the blue light in this restaurant. I'm like, blue light? What are you talking about? And then he went on to tell me about, you know, the dangers of blue light. Anyway, I thought to myself, I got to come up with a stylish pair of blue light blocking glasses, like a pair of glasses that I would really want to wear and feel comfortable wearing out in public, so that when I saw a group of attractive looking women, I'd feel comfortable and strong and confident wearing these glasses. And so all I did, Brian, was I took an existing product, which was blue light blocking glasses, and I made them stylish. I took an ugly pair and I made them not ugly. And so, you know, I put the orange lens into a kind of Ray-Ban style frame, and now the glasses, which are called Swanee's, they're from my sleep company, Swanwick Sleep, have become known as the most stylish blue light blocking glasses out there. And I think they're probably the most effective, if not, you know, some of the most effective glasses on the market.
Yeah, no, 100%. As I said, I hold testament to that. I have them on hand. They're those, and I have a noise machine that I got on Amazon for probably about €80, €90. They're the only two things that travel with me, my Swanee glasses and my sleep machine. Everything else I can do without. They literally are the first two things I pack into my bag before I go anywhere, because I'm a bit of a sleep Nazi like that, because I'm notoriously poor sleeping. Everything that helps, I make sure that it travels with me. And, you know, invention, necessity is the mother of invention. So I can hold definitely testament to that. I'll be linking those up in the show notes as well. I'll link across where people can get them, because I know there's a lot of listeners to the podcast who are similar to me that are notoriously poor sleepers. I just want to say personally, thank you for creating an awesome product. James, I want to go on to some rapid fire before we finish. So I say the rapid fire, but you can expand on these. You can one word answer them, or you can flesh them out. It's totally up to you. I'm just going to throw them at you, and you can answer them in any way you want. Ready?
I am ready. Let's do it.
When you think of the word successful, besides any family member, who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
John Bon Jovi, who was my childhood idol. I grew up a massive Bon Jovi fan, and he is the most successful person in my mind because he's done what he wanted to do, which is be a rock star. He married his childhood sweetheart. He has a beautiful marriage of 25 years plus to his childhood sweetheart, Dorothea. He has four beautiful children who by all accounts are all very healthy and happy. He gives to charity. He's created a restaurant in New Jersey that helps the poor and the hungry. And he just lives life on his terms. So I just really love the fact that he's healthy. He's got a good family life. He gives to charity. He's very charitable. And he just does what he wants to do. So to me, he's a great success.
What's your favorite Bon Jovi song?
That's an awesome question. You cannot beat Wanted Dead or Alive from the 1986 album Slippery When Wet. If you go on YouTube and just watch the music video, you can just see what an absolute rock star he was and what the band was back in the 80s. They're just, I love that music video clip. Wanted Dead or Alive.
That tune, that's in my Spotify playlist. That tune is freaking awesome.
I love it.
Next question. What purchase of $100 or less has most positively affected your life in the last 6 or 12 months? You'll be happy to hear that I normally alternate between, if anyone ever asks me this, it's the Swannies or the noise machine. So just to give you a little bit of a props on that, as if I haven't already, but just so you know. But what purchase of $100 or less has most positively affected your life in the last 6 or 12 months?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer is a diary, just a very simple diary, 240 pages. It's like a journal. And you can buy it for like $8, $9, $10, whatever, like they're cheap as chips. But just having that visual cue and opening it up each morning and writing down what I'm grateful for and writing down my vision and writing down, you know, other things throughout the day has been a game changer, because it's the power of putting it on paper. And it's the power of that morning habit of getting into 20 things that I'm grateful for. So it's a very simple purchase, $10, £10, whatever it is, 10 euros. Just get journal after journal after journal, write in it, and then move on to the next one.
Love it. Next one. What's your favorite podcast, or what podcast do you have that you're subscribed to that you get excited every time you see there's a new episode up? It can be in any realm or area. Just the one that you go, yes, new episode is up when it comes out.
Yeah, that's great. I like Ty Lopez's podcast. Ty Lopez is a pretty famous online marketer. He very famously created a program called 67 Steps, and he has a YouTube video called Here in My Garage. Just bought this brand new Lamborghini here in the Hollywood Hills. Quite controversial guy. Some people hate him. Other people love him. He personally mentored me about 4.5, almost 5 years ago, and I got immense benefit out of that. And he's just a great guy, and I consider him a really great friend. And he reads a book a day, and he has instilled in me the habit of reading a book a day. And so whenever he releases a podcast episode, I get excited to listen to it, because a lot of times he'll talk about books that he has read, and I just admire his intellect and the fact that he's so well read, and I always learn something new from him.
Yeah, I think I seen your book review on Ty's page. Was it Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi? I trained Keith when he came to Dublin. He does speaking in Dublin, so I remember it was actually your description and breakdown of that book is what made me read it. And a few months later, I ended up training with Keith. That's just a little bit of a tie-in where it's all coming back now, as you reminded me of Ty there.
That's amazing. Yeah, Keith Ferrazzi, I just texted him yesterday. He's over in Austria as we're recording this. And he texted me. I woke up this morning, and after I turned my phone on, after my gratitude diary, I had a text back from him. So it's crazy. We're all connected, huh?
Yeah, it looks like it. Next question. What book do you think everyone on the planet might benefit from reading? So not necessarily your favorite book or the one you have the strongest attachment to, but is there any book that you read where you're like, man, if this was prescribed reading out of school, people would benefit from reading this? Is there any book that's done that for you?
Yeah, it's called Lessons of History by Will Durant. And Will and Ariel Durant are possibly the greatest historians that have ever lived. They wrote the comprehensive encyclopedia about the history of mankind. And then they put all of the lessons from that encyclopedia into one tiny little book. It's really small. I think it's only like 40 pages, or 40 or 50 pages. You can buy it on Amazon. And he just outlines all of the lessons about life that he learned and that he believes in as a result of his entire life's work investigating and exploring and researching history. So I think he's probably the greatest genius. I would put him up there in terms of Einstein and, other people who've had significant impacts in the world, and not many people know about him. Like, he's not like, he doesn't just roll off the tongue. People don't say, oh yeah, Will Durant. But just look him up and imagine what you can learn from someone who spent his entire life studying history. So yeah, get that book, Lessons of History by Will Durant.
James, I have that book literally within arm's reach. Right beside me, I have Will Durant's The Lessons of History, Benjamin Graham's The Intelligent Investor, and Will Durant, The Greatest Minds of All Time, are within arm's reach beside my laptop here. Incredible book. Absolutely love that book. That's probably, if I had to pick of all the guests that have came on, in terms of a book that everyone would benefit from reading, having read that myself, it just gives you an understanding of human history and how we are as people. I think that's an absolutely incredible answer.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, great book.
Last one. There's an in-running joke on my podcast because I'm always remembering quotes or brain tattooing quotes. I normally use them to kind of anchor an idea, and it just allows me to kind of put across my own point by anchoring someone that's been much smarter than me in the past. Do you have a quote that you live by or refer to often?
I do. There's a couple of them, and they're very simple. Just do it, which is the Nike slogan, and do it now. That for me has been huge, because where I've had the greatest success in anything, whether it's health or business or money or whatever, I've always felt resistance beforehand, and then finally I just say, just do it, and then also do it now, because procrastination is the killer of dreams. And it's one thing to say I'm going to do it, but that doesn't matter. All that matters is whether you do it. And so just saying to myself, just do it and do it now, has been able to really propel me forward in life.
James, there's been so much value here on so many different areas. I cannot thank you enough for taking time out of your day. Where is the best place for people to find out more about you? I'll link everything in the show notes, the website, the glasses, your Instagram, your everything that I think will support people, your habits program, the 30-day no challenge. It'll all be on the show notes on briankeenfitness.com for everybody listening. But where is the best place for people to find out more about you?
Yeah, so if you're interested in quitting alcohol for 30 days, just go to 30daynoalcoholchallenge.com. If you're interested in ways to sleep better and the Swanee's blue light blocking glasses, go to swanwicksleep.com. It's funny, Brian, I actually pronounce my name Swanick, but the Americans don't really understand the second silent W. So
I've been calling it Swanwick for about 18 months since I bought your glasses. I'm so sorry. Yeah. And I've done it last hour.
It's actually okay, because I just said to my entire staff yesterday, I said, from this point on, we're going to be known as Swanwick, even though the correct pronunciation is Swanick, because so many people stumble over that second W, and I'm like, all right, I just give in. We're just going to call, from now on, I'm James Swanwick, and a company is Swanwick Sleep. So anyway, swanwicksleep.com. You can check out the Swanee's glasses there. They're available all over the world, Europe, UK, America, Australia, wherever you're listening. And my Instagram, at James Swanwick. I do a lot of stuff there and some motivational things. And 47-day habit hacker you can find at jamesswanwick.com.
Love it. I will have all that linked in the show notes. James, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We are out.